Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, September 4th. We hear from a La Jolla Institute immunology doctor about ghost viruses. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. From charging on Sundays to new special event pricing, parking in San Diego has become more difficult in recent months. And now there's a new hotspot for another type of parking restriction called daylighting. It prohibits parking within 20 feet of a crosswalk. According to CBS 8, a residential street in La Jolla tops the list of San Diego spots where the most daylighting tickets are issued. Vista Del Mar is one block east of La Jolla's popular surf spot, Wind and Sea. Since March 1st of this year, when daylighting enforcement started, San Diego Parking Enforcement has issued almost 12,000 tickets citywide. The city of San Diego is now accepting letters of interest to transform the old Central Library downtown into housing. A notice of availability was issued Tuesday to declare the property surplus land. The city is expected to negotiate with developers willing to make 25% or more of the housing affordable to lower-income families. Developers have until Monday, November 3rd to indicate their interest to the city. San Diego County is seeing a COVID increase as infection rates rise across California. At the end of August, just over 12% of COVID tests statewide came back positive, according to the Los Angeles Times. That's already double the rate of positive tests at the end of July. Across the county here, we are seeing a similar increase with nearly 13% of tests coming back positive. Experts say summer travel plus back-to-school season are possible factors driving the increase. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Some viruses come and go after making us sick, but some have become a part of us, passed down from our ancestors. SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge tells about these ghost viruses embedded in our DNA that can come back to haunt us.
Many viruses just make us sick, then go away. But biology postdoc Jeremy Scheck at the La Jolla Institute for Immunology says retroviruses have a pretty good trick they can pull.
They have this little ability to sort of copy themselves into our DNA. So instead of disappearing, they're actually with us forever.
In fact, 8% of our genome is made up of human endogenous retroviruses. For the most part, they don't cause any trouble, but they can be jump-started by some diseases, including cancer and autoimmune diseases. Erica Ullman-Sapphire is a professor and the CEO of the La Jolla Institute.
In these diseases, it starts being made again. And so it is kind of being reawakened.
The La Jolla Institute has created a precise three-dimensional image of one of those retroviral proteins. Knowing what they look like reveals their functions and shows how disease-fighting antibodies can bind to them. So far, we don't know what role these retroviruses play in disease. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
This weekend, southbound Interstate 5 will be closed between the 52 and Mission Bay Drive. Yesterday, Caltrans held a news conference to explain what will be happening. Crews will resurface the pavement along the main roadway, shoulders, and freeway ramps. Margie Perez is chief of construction for Caltrans District 11, which covers San Diego and Imperial counties.
All of this maintenance work that we're trying to do here is really extending the life of this roadway, of I-5, since it is such an important corridor, not only for us here in San Diego, but it really connects everything south of the border up north.
The total cost of the project is over $113 million, funded by the State Highway Operation Protection Program. The closure is scheduled from 9 p.m. Friday until 5 a.m. Monday. Clean energy projects are getting a financial boost from San Diego Community Power. Environment reporter Tammy Merga says one of the grant recipients offers gas-free rides for free.
City Heights Community Development Corporation runs a new free electric shuttle program called MidCity Go. They're one of the recipients for this year's clean energy grant program. Jesse Ramirez is with the City Heights organization. He says the shuttle is so popular, people are asking the organization to expand its hours.
9 to 5 is great, and our residents are taking advantage of it. They're using it to go to places, but we are hearing that there's still a need, right? Early commutes, afternoon commutes.
Ramirez says $67,000 in grant funding will allow them to offer rides every day from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. in City Heights and North Park. The money is part of more than $900,000 in grant funding awarded this year by San Diego Community Power. The nonprofit provides electricity from renewable sources in the San Diego region. Tammy Merga, KPBS News.
You may have noticed some new election mailers showing up in your mailbox. In our next Why It Matters segment, Voice of San Diego CEO Scott Lewis explains what they're about.
Suddenly, a fall without an election has become one with a big, expensive fight. It's all about redistricting. In about 5 weeks, voters get to decide whether they want to adopt a new map from Governor Gavin Newsom. California's districts are usually drawn by an independent commission. The ballot measure in November will temporarily override that commission. So yes, we have a ballot box fight this November, and that fight is largely going to be fought with mailers. One was paid for by Charles Munger Jr., a Republican Party donor. It got some attention because it quotes the president of the League of Women Voters in California. She supports the independent commission, and her quote says lawmakers should, quote, reject the dangerous idea of mid-cycle redistricting. The League of Women Voters was upset that they were being used by the mailer supporting a Republican perspective. And here's a statement from Deputy California Director Dora Rose. Quote, we are squarely in the fight against President Trump's authoritarian and dangerous policies that threaten the civil rights and liberties of all Americans, end quote. But they do kind of think what the quote says. They like the Independent Redistricting Commission. That spending will result mostly in mailers. Send them to me. For Voice of San Diego, I'm Scott Lewis, and that's Why It Matters.
The Carlsbad Theater is almost 100 years old, but it's been a few years since an audience filled its seats. Now, Gloria Penner fellow Mika Ellison says its owners are hoping to save the historic theater's legacy.
Right now, the Carlsbad Theater sits vacant, but that could change soon. The theater has a long history, and some residents worried it would change to stores and restaurants. But its owner says that's not true. The theater is currently owned by the Encinitas Commercial Real Estate Group, RPG. Until recently, the property was listed for sale in an auction, but now that listing has been removed. The goal is to, quote, bring it back to life as both a cinema and an entertainment venue, say the owners. The plan is to use the theater for live entertainment like stand-up comedy, panels, workshops, and eventually an annual film festival. The Carlsbad Theater has a rich history, dating back to its construction after World War I. Sean Jones is a local Carlsbad history teacher. He walks us through that history in a video from the Carlsbad Community Television Foundation.
It was built during the 1920s with a lot of confidence in business, the Roaring Twenties, when we were having such prosperity in this country. It was closed during the 1930s, the Great Depression.
Jones says the theater reopened in the 1940s and saw a boom through the 60s when foreign films and live theater were added.
During the economic chaos of the 70s, it sort of fell into disrepair. And now during the 80s and 90s, it's kind of a question mark what will happen to the Carlsbad Theater.
As the theater approaches a landmark birthday, some residents express concern about its future.
In a year and a half, our Carlsbad Theater turns 100. So that's huge. It was opened in 1927. Rumor has it Charlie Chaplin spent a little time here because the stars used to tour with their films. So that's a historical note right there.
Ken Kibo, like many longtime Carlsbad residents, has lived through some of the theater's history.
A lot of people have been in Carlsbad a long time. Everyone loves the theater. I went there as a kid, as did many others, to watch movies.
He founded the Save the Carlsbad Theater Community Association.
This could be a gathering ground for people to come downtown and enjoy a whole evening.
Now that dream might become a reality, and residents have plenty of ideas for how to use the new art space.
It's always been our dream to have this theater return to kind of the glory that it once was.
Nate Larson, a local actor and entertainer, thinks the space would be a great fit for students and more experienced entertainers.
I work at an elementary school. I teach. I also work in the arts, in theater, visual arts. I also produce events. And all those things get me so excited because this space could be all those things.
He says there's a big need for spaces like the Carlsbad Theater.
There's a lot of local Carlsbad arts organizations that they rehearse and they have classes here, but they go elsewhere for their performances or their recitals.
Christiane Kerner is the founder and executive artistic director of the Dia Hurston New Village Arts Center, directly across from the Carlsbad Theater.
We've always hoped that we could have this incredible arts district right here in the heart of the village with the Dia Hurston New Village Arts Center doing professional theater all year round, and then with the Carlsbad Theater being able to fill in with films and community theater and all kinds of other events. Just imagine the kind of life we would bring to the village.
That new life might be within reach soon. The owners are trying to get permits from the city. They hope to welcome audiences later this year. Mika Ellison, KPBS News.
North County reporter Tanya Thorne contributed to this story. There's a new park in Fallbrook that's been years in the making. The Village View County Park opened yesterday, but planning for the park started 5 years ago when the county bought the land. The groundbreaking was 2 years ago. The highlight of the nearly 7-acre site is the skate park. Sean O'Callaghan with Fallbrook Skate Park, Inc. says that took an even longer time to come to fruition.
We've been trying to get a skate park specifically here in Fallbrook for nearly 20 years, and here we are today. We're extremely happy to open this park up for the community. It's been a long time coming, and I'm so thankful that you guys are all here to enjoy it.
In addition to the skate park, there are also two dog parks, a play area, and plenty of open spaces. The new park is on East Fallbrook Street, a block away from the Fallbrook Community Center. Twenty-five years ago, a small group of opera lovers brought the centuries-old art form to Tijuana. Video journalist Matt Bowler says the small company has had a big impact on Mexico's second-largest city.
Just off of southbound Mexico 1 in Tijuana, jugglers entertain drivers, and just below the din of traffic, if you listen carefully, you can hear a piano. Then singing from an office building above a furniture store. Inside, Tijuana's opera company, La Opera de Tijuana, rehearses. For 25 years, Opera de Tijuana has brought the beauty and power of opera to local audiences.
I mean, opera is everything.
That's soprano Norma Navarrete. She discovered opera in college when she was 20 and joined the Tijuana company in 2004.
When I found this genre, I felt at home.
Jose Medina helped found Opera de Tijuana in the year 2000.
And we converted the school choirs in opera choirs, and everybody wanted, it was really effervescent.
Looking back, Medina's memories are filled with both nostalgia and melancholy.
For 25 years, I mean, it's a lot of work, a lot of enjoying and suffering at the same time.
For Medina, opera belongs to everyday people.
I love Tijuana because you can eat from tacos to the most sophisticated meal you can think. So that's what I want for the culture.
Gerardo Gaitán is one of Opera de Tijuana's tenors. He started singing with friends.
Where we would sing for hours with a mariachi or sing for hours with a norteño, and it was just, you know, regional musical Mexican music.
Gaitán says his mariachi days taught him how to project his voice in order to compete with trumpets.
Yo sé bien.
Now, Opera de Tijuana is celebrating 25 years of overcoming challenges to bring music to the people.
Sometimes it even feels that people are not interested anymore. That they don't care about the art, and we feel like we're alone in a vast ocean, but we carry on. We have no choice.
And for this company, that choice is to keep bringing great music to where Mexico begins. In October, Opera de Tijuana will stage the classic one-act opera, Cavalleria Rusticana. Matthew Bowler, KPBS News.
And that is it for the pod today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
Here in Southern California, we know all too well the devastation wildfires can cause. That's why our mission is to stop the next one before it starts. I'm Brian D'Agostino, leader of SDG&E's Wildfire and Climate Science team, and we've built one of the most advanced wildfire prevention programs in the country with a team of world-class meteorologists using artificial intelligence and real-time weather data, all to help keep our communities safe. We're also building a stronger grid and using public safety power shutoff when necessary, because believe me, I've seen firsthand how unpredictable wildfires can be. But here at SDG&E, we face that uncertainty head on to help keep you safe. Learn more at sdge.com/wildfiresafety.